The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
All right, buckle up. Here we go, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, my friend Tom Fairbanks. On the other side of the glass, as I sit here all alone in our spacious, still relatively new Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, where we practice safe distancing while bringing people together, on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Okay, here's a plea. Please support local businesses and local media operations. Talk to one of my day one sponsors, one of my legacy sponsors, Mo Gall, who's been in town since forever here in Tucson. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. Mo wants me to say to you, we are open. And if you come in, you don't need to get very close to Mo. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, you'll put your material down, tell him what you want framed, he'll take care of it. There's not going to be a problem, folks, with staying 6 feet away and social distancing. So I want to get the word out there. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, open 795-8226. You could even call and say, Mo, could I come by? Whatever. But just a shout out to all of the sponsors who are really, really needing your support right now. On that note, let's go to the vice mayor of the city of Tucson. His name is Paul Cunningham. He's a Tucson city councilman. Paul, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bill. How are you? I'm doing fine.
I'm doing really well under the circumstances. I know other people in my business have been having these really anxiety. It gets to the point, Paul, where we can really just take so much, and then it's like it's overload. You just can't listen to it anymore. If I see another headline that shows what a horrible, painful death you're going to have from COVID-19, I don't want to read that. I know what the situation is, but why don't you tell the people here of Tucson what is the situation in the city of Tucson?
Well, the answer to that right now is philosophical. This is unprecedented, and it is not anything we can't ignore. We have to take this seriously. We don't have a choice. You don't want to be the doomsday person and the Debbie Downer person, but at the same time, you want to be realistic about what's going on. And when we look at what's happened in the worst case and the best case things, the worst case scenario is probably Italy. They are approaching 1,200 people per million in infection. They've got another 30 days before they're really going to know. They haven't gone to a full lockdown like they did in China, and they have not really met the true widespread universal testing model that Korea did. And we're probably more in line with them than we are with Korea.
But Paul, excuse me, Paul, let me interrupt you. No one knows. You could test every person in the United States. What do you think the positives would come back? 30%, 40%? Who knows? Who knows? Paul, no one knows. And what I'm saying to you is, I understand that the mayor is putting out directives and is very busy at City Hall. You're very busy. But why don't you and the mayor post something on Facebook every day showing that you are supporting a local business? You're going to a takeout or whatever. That's my advice.
So I guess my answer to that is that, one, I am going to a different business every single day. I have been for the past week. It's good that people do that, unless they're sick. They probably shouldn't. And that's the bottom line. If you're picking up takeout somewhere and you're sick and you're bringing into that restaurant, now we have the we're putting everyone else at risk. So it's not, this isn't a game. I've got to tell you that, right, I mean, everyone's very concerned about the economic fallout here, including me. I mean, we were cruising. Tucson was cruising about 3 weeks ago. We were we had one of the most positive outlooks that we've had in almost a decade. So this couldn't have come at a worse time. But right now, the number one concern has to be public health.
And you're not at all happy with what the governor is doing, I take it?
Well, I think that I appreciate that everybody's trying to make the most prudent decisions with the information they have. He's in a tough situation. So he issued a stay-at-home order. He's urging people to stay at home. If you're feeling even the least bit symptomatic, you should definitely stay home. But we're really not – the uncertainty here is pretty amazing. It's not encouraging to see that the number of cases that are positive in Tucson are going up. At the same time, you know, you say all that, but at the same time, you want to say, but, you know, don't panic and don't worry. And, you know, we don't, you know, all the true things are open, and make sure you're social distancing. And this should be able to, we should be able to wait this out. And I think that's probably true. So, like I said, it's a very philosophical question at this point. But what I really urge people to do is try to minimize your risk. And that's the best thing I can say right now. You've got to be vigilant. You've got to minimize your risk. Tucson's been spared. We're probably in a lower risk area than some of the other cities in comparison. We represent about one ninth of the cases in Arizona, but we only represent 1/7 of the population. In other areas around the world, the second largest city would represent a much higher number. So we've done the right things. We called for the dine out only about 2 days earlier. But we've got to figure out the best path possible on, one, how to have the least disruption in our way of life, and two, how we can beat it. And those are that's the bottom line. And it's not an easy task.
Are city workers staying at home?
For the most part, we're testing out as much virtual city and as much virtual servicing as we can. Obviously, we still need to pick up the garbage, and obviously our first responders still have to be available. So, you know, there's only so much you can do virtual city-wise. From another perspective, this is actually a pretty good time to do road maintenance as traffic is thinned out. So there's some pieces that we're going to keep in place, but we're trying to do is we're trying to maximize the amount of telecommuting telecommunication service as we can.
Paul, tell me about the economic fallout from this and how the city will recover. You're going to pretty much have to throw out the budget, right, for what's left of this year, or what is the thinking on that?
Well, the cash lag won't come in until probably June. We also squirreled some money away over the years, so we've been pretty prudent. So as far as cutting services or cutting, making major budget cuts, we're probably more like a full fiscal year and a half away, depending on how long the coronavirus pandemic lasts. So we have, in my opinion, we have about a year and a half or a year from July. So from July 1st, we have at least a year to do business as usual and not have to make sweeping cuts in any departments in the city of Tucson. So that's the good news. The bad news is that this sets us back to making some of the progress in Tucson that we wanted to make Tucson a special and competitive place and raise our quality of life. So that discussion will probably be had once the crisis is over. I'm pretty optimistic that as long as we keep our social distancing, as long as we stay at home as much as possible, that at some point there's going to be some decisions made at the state national level that will allow us to move forward a little bit faster. But I don't know whether or not, because here's the deal. Mayors can run around until they're blue in the face and say, let's lock down. But if everybody else isn't locking down, it doesn't matter. It means nothing. Two, you may not need to lock down if you look at the Korean model and how they addressed it. And three, we have like three or four different possible medical options as far as cures and vaccinations in the pipeline. So at some point, hopefully one of those takes. So we've got a lot of different irons in the fire on how to finish the crisis. The real question is how long it will last and what it will cost. Right now, the $2 trillion package that Congress passed kind of was very inclusive, and that was it was actually very responsible to the Congress. You rarely see people praising Congress, but they did the right thing here. A package in place that will allow life to go on at least for probably at least a year and a half, lockdown or in social distancing or in stay at home orders for another year and a half. So that's encouraging. And in that economic stabilization bill that they passed, I want to say today or late yesterday, I believe this morning, will definitely mitigate some of the major problems of the economic fallout. The problem will be long-term is how we pay all that money back, because it did cost $2 trillion, which is almost 1 year of the federal budget. So that'll be another discussion, but I think that that's a responsible way to go.
All right, Paul, stick around, if you would, for another segment, because now I want to tell people about one of our great sponsors and one of our great restaurants and bakeries in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery. They are open for business pickup, and of course they'll do delivery, and their number is 579-1959. You can go to their website, find out all the details, but yeah, you can go into the bakery. It's not a problem. You can pick up all of your great bakery goods, including a lot of freshly baked breads. Some people have had trouble finding some good breads in the supermarkets. Well, how about Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle? Why not bring a Kringle home? That'll put a smile on a lot of your on your face and your family as you hunker down. But anyway, Steve, the owner and chief baker, they are carrying on, as are other restaurants and businesses that are open, trying to make a go of it through these very difficult times. So there is a link, again, monasdanishbakery.com, a link at buckmastershow.com. We'll have more with Paul Cunningham, and if you'd like to call and ask Paul a question, we have the live line open, 790-2040. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
This is Moa Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
during the coronavirus crisis. Vero Amore Restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I think Green Things is an essential place to go for your gardening needs because a lot of people are at home and they are spending time in the backyard and doing gardening. Well, Green Things, check it out. Plenty of fresh air there. Lots of social distancing. You can go by on their 13-acre site full of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. At 3384 East River Road. Go by, get your plants, all your pottery for the patio, all of the gardening things that you would require, and you can go right home and into the backyard. So check it out, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. We are very much, of course, trying to support our local businesses and supporting local media, and I know that Paul Cunningham, in your heart, you also, you've always been a guy that supports local business, haven't you?
So I'm going to do plugs for some East Side businesses that are doing great takeout right now. Gilbert Molina over at Casa Molina, JJ Escobel at Wings Over Broadway, the New York City Pizza Department, and New York Pizza, both in Ward 2. Are just a handful of the places that my wife and I have visited. We're going to one place a day. We're trying to go to one place a day, spend about $25-$30. It's a big deal for Tucson, and it's how people can help keep the economy going in Tucson. If you can do it and if you can swing it and the economic fallout so far hasn't affected you, please consider visiting one local place a day. And if you're on the east side, try to stay in Ward 2 and do it in Ward 2.
All right. And my, again, going back to my suggestion, Paul, and maybe you're doing that. We're friends on Facebook. Why don't you also post maybe you with the takeout outside the restaurant?
I've been posting on Twitter,
okay,
about different places, and I've been posting about kind of the public health piece.
Okay.
Again, I don't want to overdo the idea that I'm favoring one business over another.
Yeah.
But I'll try to get some pictures up there. I took a pic when I went and saw Wings Over Broadway last week. And
okay.
Again, what I'll tell you is my message is more kind of general, is that, hey, try to go to one place a day. And that's, you know, you don't have to go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but maybe if you can do lunch one day, breakfast one day, that type of thing, it definitely helps people stay work. It kind of, you know, those, the people who work in eateries are probably going to be that sector of our economy will be the most affected by this.
Right.
And next will
right.
probably be daycare. And so those are the things that, that we're just going to have to understand. And as Tucson addresses this crisis the Tucson way, I like to believe that Tucson has the best advanced citizenship in the world. We're true to ourselves here. And, you know, like I say, if you can stay indoors as much as possible, or not stay indoors necessarily, but stay isolated with just the same circle of people and not work outside of that circle of people, you're going to be fine. And that's kind of what the challenge is that I think with Italy, their bigger challenge was that there was just a lot of bleed on their social distancing. They had a contingent of folks not being responsible, and all of a sudden, they really couldn't get the thing. Understand that, you know, if you look at a place like here's a good example. We have about, give or take, we have about, 1,100, 1,200 ICU beds in Tucson.
Right.
All right. And we have a population of over 60 or over 65, if you will, represents about 15% of our group. So if you assume a 10% infection rate and then you assume 50% of those people have to go to the ICU, we might be okay. But if it gets to the point that you're in quicksand where your ICU beds are overrun, that's when this disease seems to really take hold of communities.
All right.
So that's kind of what we're trying to prepare for in Tucson. It isn't so much that it's going to kill everybody. It isn't so much that it's spreading so fast that we can't. I mean, it isn't like the movie Contagion or anything like that. The biggest issue we're having is the swell. And that when I call it the swell, I don't know what other communities are calling it, but the swell is when you hit your peak of infection and you don't have enough hospital spaces to address all the people who are in need at that specific time.
Okay.
And that's kind of what we're trying to prepare ourselves for.
Paul, Jeff has been patiently waiting. Jeff, sorry about the delay there. You're on the live line, 790-2040 with Paul Cunningham. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, excuse me. Got hoarse while I was waiting. First off, if I may, green things. I was just out there Sunday and Monday, both. What a great place.
Thank
man,
you.
It is fabulous out there. That place is a AAA-plus operation.
Thank you.
I mean, everything from parking to knowledgeable employees.
Great.
Everything arranged, orderly, clean. Can't give enough positives, and believe me, I'm a very picky person.
Great.
And you're going to find out in just a second. Because I got questions for both of you. First off, for you, Mr. Buckmaster, I hear your words. You want to support local businesses. Effectively, you can't do that. They've got everything shut down to the point. You know, I got lucky with green things, but I go to my own bank the other day, and they're locked down. I was lucky I even got in.
Wow.
They
won't,
and, I mean, we're talking about a bank.
Well,
there's nobody in there except the people who work there.
Well,
this is getting ridiculous.
I am trying to get the word out. I can only speak for the businesses that have been kind enough to support this program, and they are open. So that's what I'm trying to get through here. But go ahead, Jeff, real quickly. You have a question. You have a question
for Cunningham.
Okay.
I understand that 16 illegals from India were released into Tucson, illegal aliens who had passed through both Italy and Spain. I just wonder how you square all your angst over this so-called crisis with letting illegals loose in the Tucson. I'll just hang up and listen. Thanks.
Paul Cunningham.
Well, I appreciate the question about the undocumented people who were allegedly released. I haven't heard that story. This is the first I've heard of it, so I can't address it unless I have some more details. But I wouldn't really want someone who's been through Italy and China very recently or in any with a high rate of infection area passing through Tucson. So I'd have to get some verification on kind of the details of that, and I'll try to find out, but that wouldn't be a good thing.
Okay, Paul Cunningham, I've got 2 minutes before the break. What are your final remarks here until we meet again to my listeners? And again, to Jeff, I understand his frustration trying to find some businesses that are open. All I can do is try to support the people who have supported my program by letting folks know that they are open. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I think that over the next couple of weeks, you know, the vice president and the governor, and I think they've tried to be pretty responsible in making the right comments and setting the right tone to the American people. I think Senator Sinema has done an amazing job on social media getting information out right away. I'd like to tell people who are in the midst of possibly losing their job, and some of the small business owners, there's several different websites, and there are several different sources of information regarding unemployment, unemployment insurance, reimbursement for businesses, small business loans, bridge loans, all the things that are going to come out of this economic relief package. And we need to be vigilant, and we need to make sure we're the first in line, and we need to work together in leveraging those dollars into Tucson. Number two is I'd like to tell everyone that we're going to make this. I mean, we got this. This is Tucson. There's nothing that can stop Tucson. So we're going to make this. The real question is that how are we going to get through it with the minimum effect to us as possible? And again, that's a philosophical question. We don't know how long social distancing is going to last. We just don't know enough about the virus yet. But I think once that information comes to light, and researchers are working on it every single day, that we'll be able to make a better decision on what's the
Gotta
best.
Go. Okay.
Paul, need to go.
Paul,
all right?
Paul Cunningham, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day.
CBS News right now on The Buckmaster Show.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, named after me, Bill Buckmaster. 10:30, The Voice, trusted news talk. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. Jeff really called in with a great testimonial for Jan and Jack over at Green Things. That was totally unsolicited. Jeff saying what a great experience he had over at Green Things. People have a great experience in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where they are cautiously optimistic that as of right now, the Memorial Day weekend still on for the big event, Silver City Blues Festival. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities, including a very, very healthy outdoor activity like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. I got so many questions that have been going around in my mind about Mexico, and Keith Rosenblum is our contributor on Mexico, so I'm going to bring him in right now. Mr. Rosenblum, how are you handling all of the coronavirus crisis?
Mr. Rosenblum has been, actually is en route to Nogales, Mexico.
Okay.
Where he will find out just how flexible or non-flexible both our authorities and the Mexicans are when it comes to asking us questions or interrogating us about what we're going to do going south and when then coming back north. I'm fascinated by it because I only go with a tourist visa. A lot of people have what's called an FM3 or other kinds of work visas, but because most of my work is done in the States, although the clients are Mexican, they'll then pay me either in cash or they'll pay me with a bank transfer. And so through the years, I've actually had working documents in Mexico when the work was going to be performed there. So it's one of those gray areas, and it'll be interesting to see today whether I get the what kind of filters the both authorities are putting up. And I'll get back to you on that because those are my questions as well. By the way, let me tell you that the 125 million people of Mexico also want to go to Green Things and to Silver City. So just in case there was any doubt.
Well, that's a nice testimonial. Keith, really, this is the first time we've had you on in a couple of weeks. So could you give me an overview, Keith? What is the situation with coronavirus in Mexico as far as how are they doing with testing, number of cases, on it goes?
López Obrador, the president of Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, also came under the same kind of fire as President Trump for not taking it seriously. At the beginning, his press conferences, which are every day, 5 days a week, there was no protection taken. There were lots of people on the stage. He was accused of being blasé or, you know, nonchalant about the way that he was treating it. And he's maintained that this is, he's been on the side of this is overblown. Well, the pressure from within and internationally finally got to him, and Mexico yesterday went into the phase two, they call it phase two, and now they're doing many of the same things that we are when it comes to economic recovery, you know, making sure that they inject a lot of money in the economy. What's been fascinating also has been that they've been telling the population here's the new monies that will come. They've been saying keep the same things about groups of 10 people, although the Mexicans can flout it. And what you have also, what's worth taking into account, is that Mexico is still far more agrarian and far more rural than we are. So the cases, when you're talking about Mexico, in the U.S., I think if you're talking about maybe half or two-thirds of our population lives in these metro centers. In Mexico, you have huge numbers of people who are living in villages or living in places of 2,000 and 3,000 and 5,000 people. And for them, a stay-at-home order a lot of times has no relevance because they always stay at home, especially in these rural areas. And then sometimes it will be a matter of life and death. They can't stay at home because they have to go to the adjacent town or city to trade. So you wind up with things that don't quite apply to the Mexican model. But they did, they sped up payments, for example, what there was called their Programa de Mayores de 70, which is their equivalent of a social security system. They've been giving people payments in advance, which is a lot of it's done by debit cards now. Some of it is actually done physically, where they take, where people who don't have debit cards, they take them the cash out to these pueblos. The incidence itself in places like Monterrey or Mexico City, Hermosillo, Tijuana, the big cities, have not had the same numbers per capita that we've had. Whether that's because it's latent, whether it's because Mexicans don't travel as much as we do, at least internationally. But the other thing that's interesting has been that it's that López Obrador was able to pat himself on the back as he's telling Mexicans we're in quite good shape because we no longer tolerate the corruption that's been endemic to our country for the last 40 years under pre and PAN administrations. He says we've got a bunch of reserves that we never had before. And he's actually been able to point to a very stable currency. You know, if you look at other places in the world where they have the ongoing inflation, Mexico has been a pillar of stability. The peso took a hit last week. But when I was in Nogales a week ago, it was 18.5 buy and 19.5 sell, which is still very, very stable. So you have plenty. I've been into supermarkets. There's no deficiencies there. No shortages that I've seen anyway. The food, the supply chains look all to be intact. But the recommendations are generally the same ones that WHO, you know, the World Health Organization or whatever it is now, have been recommending. I just don't know that they're followed up with the same rigor that we do.
What are the I'm very curious also about air transportation. We heard that the border was closed, and I know you're going to know more about this. You're on your way right now to Nogales, that the border is closed. But what about, I've been trying to get a reading on this. How about places like the flights into Puerto Vallarta and Cancun? Are all flights from the United States to Mexico canceled? Do you have any
No.
read on this?
I've been looking online because I wanted myself to go to Mexico City or to León, which is in central Mexico, in the days to come. And mm-hmm. all I can tell you is that the fares are cheap from the border areas, which I generally go to Hermosillo or to Juarez or to a place like Mexicali to fly. It's so much cheaper to fly domestically within Mexico than it is to fly from the States. On the other hand, I was able to Volaris Airlines and Aeromexico, not Aeromexico, no, just Volaris and American had fares from Phoenix to Mexico City a few days ago of $90.
Hmm.
Which, so the flights are still functional. One thing is you can't, especially when it comes to international travel, unless the equivalent of the FAA gives them a buy, they have to keep flying in order to continue to occupy those spots. If you give up your spot, your landing slot,
right,
at Mexico City Airport, for example, then someone else could move in and take it.
Right.
So unless there's something from the last 48 hours that I don't know about, the international flights are unaffected and are continuing. And those beach places I've heard were at like a fourth or a fifth of what they generally are. So but I'll amend that later.
Well, we had Jeff Lattice, our aviation contributor. He's a captain with JetBlue. Keith was with us for a segment on the show yesterday. Really interesting talking, hearing his perspective of plane of loads that seven or eight people on a flight from L.A. to Tucson, some flights 20%. Is the load factor. But Jeff pointed out, Keith, that the airlines are charged with moving the mail. A lot of people don't understand that because some people are saying, why are they flying at all? Well, how do you think the mail is getting around? You know, this goes back to the 1930s.
Right. There's lots of contracts that are.
Yes.
That's correct. They're legally obligated to do it. And there's clauses built into it that if they don't do it, then here are the penalties. And I think there are even clauses that say that if for some reason the passenger loads aren't a certain amount, there's actually a compensatory thing built in that pays them a little bit better. But aside from the U.S. mail, which is governmental, there's lots of other contracts with companies that, you know, and actually this is the health industry as well. Some type of testing, if you're in a lab in Mexico City and you're looking for a particular kind of test, you may very well send it something to Miami or to New York. So to be tested, quite aside from the people that would need to go back and forth. And so there's reasons that number one, if they cancel their service, there would be terrible penalties to pay, or they could lose it to another airline.
Right.
And that's why I think it's going to, in both Mexico and the U.S., we're going to end up with lots of legislation to support the travel industry, number one. And it probably ought to be that way too. I'm generally, harsher on these types of things in a free market economy, but when you have what really is a fuerza mayor in Spanish, but a force majeure, where everybody gets blindsided by something, then it is time for government to step in and to, under the right circumstances, to guarantee that there won't be bankruptcies directly as a result of a natural disaster or in this case an epidemic.
All right, Keith, I'm going to take a break right here. Could you stick around for a few minutes?
Of course.
Okay, I've got some more questions for you. As I say, this is our first chance to check in, really, with Keith Rosenblum, who's covered Mexico forever, and he's kind enough to contribute to this program. We haven't had him on in a while, so we've got a lot of questions about coronavirus and how it's affecting the situation right now in Mexico. Keith, stick around. Buckmaster Show takes a break. Be right back.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Please support our local businesses. I made that plea at the beginning of the show, and I'll make it again. Heard from Mo at Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. Mo wants to let everybody know that they are open. He's been here for this community since, like, he and his family since the mid-80s. They're open right now. Please support them. 795-8226. Keith Rosenblum has supported us through the years, our Mexico contributor on this program. Keith, it is so important that we get the word out that not everything is closed in Tucson, Arizona. Your thoughts, please.
You walk that balance. You know, it's such a hard one to do when you're not a pro. And even when you are, my brother-in-law is a chief of pediatrics for a Kaiser Permanente hospital in the Berkeley, San Francisco area. And he, of course, is one of those stern, you know, quarantine.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, you know, something I start thinking, I told him, I said, well, what do you think if we go to Chihuahua this afternoon and tell the Tata Umara, who are the running Indians of Mexico, you guys, you got to stop running. They'll look at you and say, like, no, we are about running.
Right.
Nobody else is going to stop us from running. That's what we do. And plague or epidemic or whatever, this is who we are about. And I'm realizing that I've told in family emails, I've said, you know, I'm not sure that the risk of what's going to happen at our house might be far worse once we get on each other's nerves anymore than anything that could ever happen from a plague. So, I've been shopping. I was at Trader Joe's on Campbell earlier today. Safeway. You have to have a certain semblance of a normal life, however you create it.
Yes.
To think that somehow we're human beings and we're about socializing.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that watching TV or doing things online, ultimately there's always a cost-benefit analysis like there is in doing business in Mexico or setting up your own shop in Tucson or being a small business person in Tucson. And I think that I was talking yesterday with Jesus Puyol, he's the mayor of Nogales, Mexico. And Jesus, you know, he gets to see both universes, Bill, because he is a U.S. citizen and a Mexican citizen. He heads, you know, this is kind of an odd statistic, but one out of every 350 Mexicans is from Nogales. That's how big a city Nogales, Mexico is.
Wow.
And Jesus says, you know, he says, I'm looking at this whole thing and seeing how different societies handle it. Maybe one of the fringe benefits is that people are going to be buying locally. We can't cross over to the Walmart or to Morley Avenue or to Grand Avenue and do our shopping as we're accustomed to doing. Others' needs are going to be met now in Nogales, Mexico. So it's funny that buy local is a kind of a rallying cry, regardless of where you are in the world.
All right. And along those lines, here is my producer, Tom Fairbanks, with a really good question for you, Keith Rosenblum.
Well, I hope so, Keith. You know, one of the things that's come to light in all of this is how much we in the United States are economically dependent on China. They hold so much of our debt, and we found out how much of our medications and pharmacies materials are coming from China. I wonder, has Mexico over the years gotten itself involved like that with China? What's the situation there?
Mexico, I don't have the trading partner info, but I can tell you that Mexico per capita, per individual, is not as dependent on China as we are. For a long time, there were still restrictions on, back when we could go to the dollar store here and buy anything, and we can go into a clothing store and buy anything from China, the Mexicans were still either prohibiting it or had tariffs that were as much as 100% on things.
Wow.
And if you go back in Mexican history, actually during the Echeverria administration, which is the 1960s, they had what was called the domestic substitution model. And what that meant was that Mexico, so it was basically saying, that's how the maquiladora comes to be born, actually, in Nogales, of all places. The Mexicans say, you know what, we're not just going to become a consumer. We're actually going to require that things be produced. So if you're Levi's or your General Motors or your whoever you are, we're not just going to buy your things because they're on our shelves. We're going to require you to come to Mexico. And even if it means that the cost for the consumer winds up being 30 or 50 or in some cases double the cost of what it is in the U.S., we're still going to require it because we want our own nascent industry. And so that model was actually in place through López Portillo administration, which is, I think, 72 to 78, maybe. And it served because there's an awful lot of, if you were to cut off trade tomorrow with Mexico and the rest of the world and say, okay, guys, you're on your own, it's remarkable just how self-sufficient Mexico would be. There's, wow. Don't have harbor freight.
Maybe we need to go down that road. Maybe we are going to be going down that road.
Well, we may be, but we may not. You know, who knows? We have any choice. But the Mexicans have been remarkably firm when it comes to saying we welcome you. And if you go back to the maquiladora model, the maquiladora for listeners who aren't familiar, the twin plant concept begins in the 1960s in Nogales, Mexico, because of a family from the U.S. and at that time from Nogales, Arizona. That's the Campbell family, Richard Campbell. He goes to the Mexican government with a proposal in the early 60s, and he says, let me go ahead and build plants in Mexico, and we'll only have them be there for labor. So we're not going to sell any of the products that are made in these plants to the domestic market. We're just going to go ahead, take advantage of cheap labor. At that time, the ratio of U.S. wages to Mexico wages were maybe 1 to 9 or 1 to 10. That is the same hour of labor you would do in the U.S. Would cost you 1/10 that amount in Mexico. And so the Mexican government says, sure, we'll go ahead and do it. So the maquiladora or maquila concept was born then, and it became very successful, in particular along the border, but not only. So you had Tijuana, Juarez, Mexicali, Nogales, Agua Prieta, all these places where they wind up with these huge industrial buildings with work that was labor-intensive. Foster Grant Sunglasses was one of the first. I believe Chamberlain in Nogales, Mexico, is still a maquiladora, but I'm not sure. They employ 4,000 people. And you know what they make, Tom?
All right.
They make, I wish we had a visual right now. I could show you with my hand. I would make the gesture of somebody opening their garage.
Right.
All garage door openers in the world virtually come from Nogales, Mexico.
Wow. Keith,
and it was labor intensive.
Keith, I'm up against the clock here. I appreciate the half hour, though, of the update. We needed that. Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure, and anytime, Bill.
Thank you very much. Keith Rosenblum keeps an eye on Mexico for us on the Buckmaster Show as we wrap up our midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Hope the program has been helpful for you, trying to get some content on the air here, locally produced content. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, Bill Buckmaster wishing you a happy, safe, and, well, what can I say? Just be well.